We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Andy Liu, welcome to the Pacific Catch post-game show. The Warriors lose to the Utah Jazz, 124-123. Really hard to state where we're at. Like, you want to talk about grasping defeat from the jaws of victory. I was in a good mood. You were texting me. You thought that they looked like they had resolve like last year's team. Nope.
Can I get off that take anyway? Can I just give that take anyway? Because it felt like that was a take for 47 and a half minutes. It felt like they had the joy and the happiness of the team of last year where they could just sit some veterans and they can kind of steal a win on the road when they've got a bunch of young guys playing and it's a bunch of energy out there. Kuminga, Moody, and, you know, Dante DiVincenzo looks like a guy. So I felt like the Warriors had rediscovered that swagger about them. And nope, they suddenly became this season's version of the Warriors or the Warriors from two seasons ago where, like you just said, they literally did everything in their power to try and lose that game. And it wasn't because of it was a combination of the young guys and the veterans that pretty much teamed up together to choke that one away. So I don't know, man. I want to feel positive about that game, but it's just a rough. That wasn't
we
a basketball team.
We do not view
at the
ourselves
end.
As a basketball team, Andy Liu. As Supreme Leader Lacob has said, we do not view ourselves as a basketball team. We're sports, we're technology, entertainment, media, sports, and entertainment company or something like that.
I was entertained.
It's hard for me to watch these sort of things with the Warriors and not get frustrated at just the general nature of the roster.
Yeah.
That one was frustrating because it felt like the young players were taking a step, and they did. And honestly,
they did.
Kuminga, we're going to talk about him pretty heavily, and I think he was phenomenal, and I've been very impressed with his progress overall. But it's hard to win in the NBA. It's even harder to win a title, and sometimes it feels like there's just too many conflicting agendas with the Warriors. It's like, it's not enough to try to win. You got to win with flair and having young players and do this sort of thing. But we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
That was a gut punch of a game. That's all I'm going to say. It was very frustrating because I thought Jordan Poole played pretty well. I thought Kuminga was in some ways his coming out party. Can we talk about the Jordan Clarkson moment? With Kuminga, and then to just throw it up all over yourself. That's why teams who are contending don't go that young, you know?
Yeah, okay. That was a moment of the game for me. So we're gonna unveil something in today's show that we're gonna start doing every on a weekly basis for our listeners here. That was the moment of the game. Look, ending's bad, but to me, what Jonathan Kuminga did against Jordan Clarkson in crunch time was some of the best defense that I've seen the Warriors have played all season. Actually, you know what? I take that back. That was the best defense I've seen the Warriors have played all season, just on that one possession. And for him to get that block and stay with him, not jump, which I think Kuminga's really good at not jumping, and then turning
very
around
disciplined for young.
Randomly. Yeah. I think that's just innate. Like, it's same with Draymond. Like, it's not something that he had to get taught. It's innate. And then he turns around and he gets whacked by Clarkson. I don't actually think it was that bad. But anyway, he gets whacked and he turns around and starts smiling at him. Hey, that's when I knew. That's when I knew, like this tweet right here. That's when I knew he got that dog. It's not, dude. You can't teach that. You cannot teach that toughness.
How many dogs? This picture has four in the chest. It could be six, could be eight, just so many. No, I think you're hitting at the broader point with Kuminga. Like, he definitely feels like a mandatory player for this team.
Yep.
Not just because he is a wing who can defend, and I'm not sure they have one outside of Andrew Wiggins on this team. Like, they don't have GP2. Clay's not the defender he used to be. Dante is a pest, but he's not a wing, you know, like he's kind of more of a guard. And so outside of that, but like also he just kind of has the mentality to be the kind of guy who gets into guys, and he also has enough discipline to do it. That's the exciting part about him, right? Like, he can actually stay on his feet, not foul people, not jump at everything. So, you know, I think in general, it's hard to dwell on the positives, but Kuminga is one positive for tonight.
This is what I would say is worth the loss. And it's not, but it's worth the loss if you are able to say these 30 minutes here made Jonathan Kuminga develop, and the Warriors were able to develop Kuminga into a starting level player, a playoff impact level player. Because we've talked all season about, you got to just let him play. You got to just let him play. You got to just let him figure it out. Like, you can't just have guys like tonight, Anthony Lamb and Ty Jerome. I don't need to see them out there. They're not. If you're going to let people develop, you got to let Kuminga and Moody develop. And this game right here is where I think you could say was worth the loss if it means that Jonathan Kuminga is going to be an impact level wing down the stretch. And not just him, Moses Moody hit some huge threes, and he was actually pretty good defensively. I thought he struggled lately because he's so slow, but I think he's smart enough and kind of strong enough to be like not terrible defensively so early in his career. So, you know, I would say it's worth that. It's worth that if those two guys are able to develop into players down the stretch. I think Kuminga for sure. It looks like, dude, how is he not playing 25 minutes on Saturday and then the rest of the road trip, you know, with Wiggins out and stuff like that, we'll talk about it. How is he not playing 25 plus minutes a game?
That's why he's my Chase cashback player of the game.
Ooh,
you know, use my Chase card, just booked a hotel in LA for a couple months from now, got some points. Got a great rate on that. But anyway,
by the way, well done. I've got like 200,000 points on Chase. That is our title sponsor moving forward. So every week we are going to do a Chase back player of the game. This week we're giving it to Jonathan Kuminga. That's who we're giving it to.
The Chase cashback player of the week, Jonathan Kuminga. I thought Kuminga was the best player in the disgusting loss to the Indiana Pacers on Monday. Okay, no one wanted to take any pauses from that game. Andrew Nembhard just kind of, you know, destroyed the Warriors in a way that we weren't expecting. Kuminga had a very positive 24 minutes, came with 10, 5, 2. But honestly, player of the game against the Pacers, and if they won, he'd be a headline player across the league. He's going to get noted for the scuffle with Jordan Clarkson, but it's not just about that. 10 for 13 from the field tonight, 24 points, season high. Awesome defense, locking down Clarkson on those last possessions, and generally looks like the lottery pick the Warriors have been hoping for, who can be a key part of the future for them.
Correct. Also, one big thing I thought he did very well, to go into more specifics, offensively, he finally stopped shooting threes. Thank the heavens. He made one, miss one. But, dude, there is nothing better than when Kuminga just says, I'm going to go and I'm going to get to the hole and you can't stop me. Spin move, just hard post up, hard dribble, just dunk it in someone's face, get a foul, cut to the rim, get a dunk. Cutting is the biggest one because the Warriors don't ever cut nowadays with the guys that they have. Everything that he was doing
they
out
got,
there,
they got to have shooting. They got to have shooting and passers to cut.
Yeah. Well, it's just dumbass threes. I mean, they did it tonight too. But keep it on the bright side. Everything that he did tonight, I think, is sustainable moving forward. Is he always going to get this type of cushy? No, but I think that impact that he can make both ways is just, they need it. You just said it. They have one guy that can play high level. Actually, Dante. So they have two guys that can play high level defense. Can they get Kuminga to be the third guy to play high level perimeter point of attack defense? Because if they can get that, now the Warriors are cooking, even though, you know, they're 500. But that's worth sacrificing some
wins. An individual game.
Yeah. Even though
they should
have won this game.
And that is why Jonathan Kuminga is this week's Chase Cashback Player of the Week.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, Andy. Should we get to some super chats? Should we see what the goons have to say?
Yeah, let's go. Let's roll.
Let's do it. Okay. Yeah. Worst loss of the year. I'm not going to debate you on that one. It's definitely not the best loss of the year.
I disagree.
Oh, let's hear it.
I disagree. The kids played. The Warriors were underdogs. They probably were supposed to lose this game. They were on the road in Utah. Yeah, the way they lost it was the worst loss of the year, but I'm telling you, man, that 0-5 road trip eats me. They just lost to Indiana at home with Steph and Draymond playing. That's pretty bad. I would say that's worse than this. So
yeah, I think I'm with you. This one's maybe the biggest gut punch of the year because they should have won it, but they've had losses that are much more scheduled W's. Any loss without Steph Curry is not going to be the worst loss of the year for me.
Yeah. You know, I'm living.
All right. From friend of the show. Awesome. I can deal with missing shots, but lack of focus by Clay and getting cooked on D enough. Act like a vet. Can't cheat the process by punting these games. I understand the logic, but JP better than Clay. Let's talk a little JP and Clay Thompson here. I thought JP looked really good for most of the game, but also with the key turnover to lose the game, which kind of is the whole Jordan Poole conundrum for me. Is he ready to take that step to be a frontline guy? I thought he was. I go a little back and forth on it because, like, the skill is the skill. Like, that floater he hit, the 15-footer where, like, dude, that how many players can actually make that shot, right? Like, it's filthy. He had 35 and 8 tonight. Like, talent's talent. He's super – he's there. But then at the other end, I mean,
just let it out, man.
I'm just being honest with you. Frontline players don't turn that over like that. I get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, but like, come on, man. So like part of it's a learning curve, but part of it is I go back and forth on what I think of Jordan Poole, like in the context of being a frontline player. Not that like, obviously he's a very talented, very skilled NBA player. You know what I'm saying?
So, I mean, this is why Steve Kerr started Ty Jerome. It's because he doesn't trust Jordan Poole to be a full-time ball handler yet. Guy's a turnover machine. He's dribbling off his foot. He's falling down for no reason. But you live with that because he's such a great scorer when he's hot like he was tonight. I think similar to Klay Thompson, Klay can't dribble. So Jerry, you obviously don't want him to. Yeah, he didn't get called for one. Actually, did he get called for one? So it doesn't matter with Klay because he's a shooting guard. You know he can't dribble, so you always want to put. But they're similar in the way that if those are the guys that are handling the ball full time, you've got problems, right? So I think because of that, I think both guys are always going to be somewhat limited. Though I think moving forward, Poole probably has more potential to be a frontline ball handler. But yeah, right now, like I don't. At any moment, he's going to turn the ball over. Literally, the last play of the game, like you're talking about, all he had to do was just hold on to the ball. Instead, he literally falls down without really, like, before he gets – he did get fouled. Before he gets fouled, he falls down and tries to pass. Just hold on to the ball. That's all you got
to
do.
Dude, just go to the line. You led the league in free throw percentage last year.
That's all you got to do. And he's like, out of control. That's the thing about Jordan Poole, right? He's out of control. And I think that's just – that's just who he is, and maybe that stops him from becoming a superstar. But on the other hand, it's like, well, the kid's 22, so like I'd cut him some slack. Like I don't think it's that bad, but yeah, if I were to blame someone for that play, I blame Poole. Like, sure, you got fouled, but all you gotta do is hold on to the fucking ball. You're halfway falling down.
It's not his first game. Yeah,
you played in the NBA. Actually, that's a good one. You've played in the NBA Finals, so you're not. Ryan Rollins out there. If Ryan Rollins makes that play, I'm like, all right, fine. You know what I mean?
But even that, like, Rollins has played in organized basketball. Yeah. I hear you. It's frustrating. On the Klay front, like, Klay could not hit a shot tonight. I don't also have a problem with most of the shots Klay took tonight. Like, they were mostly... Yeah, if he's open from three, I want him shooting.
Not take him? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like... It's frustrating. I feel like the entire Klay experience could be summed up in that sequence where he took a three, missed it, frustrating, and then he chased him down and got a block on the other end where you're just like, awareness not there, shot making not at the level you expect it, but also, you know, not every player is not going to quit on a play and going to run back on it. So like still just kind of a winning player just by nature of who he is. So it's frustrating with Klay because, you know, he can be better, or at least he has been better than that in the past. I don't know. It's
next one.
Frustration's the way to go. But yeah, let's get to the next question.
Let's do a couple minutes on Wiseman. So not bad for a scheduled loss anyway. Wise was okay. He only played 5 minutes. So we'll do five. No, we're not going to do 5 minutes.
Let's get Steve Kerr's quote up on it, by the way.
Okay. You do that while I talk. Not a bad 5 minutes, I thought. Set some good screens, got a couple rebounds. Generally stayed out of people's ways. I think he was like a -1 or a -3 or something like that. So not a -25. Didn't look like he was asking for the ball every time down on the court, which is what he did. So, you know, overall, I thought it was fine. It's 5 minutes. I don't really know what you can get out of those 5 minutes, but he wasn't bad. Also wasn't great. Like there was a couple possessions here's the thing about Wiseman that I get really frustrated with, and I'll let you talk after this. It's you're 7'2", and I don't feel like he's 7'2" on the court. I don't see him get contested rebounds, and then he'll go in and he'll do a nice spin move, but he'll do a lefty fadeaway. So yes, he was fine tonight. He made some good plays, but I never think to myself, oh shit, he's seven, pull up, an impact player. Walker Kessler?
He's 7 feet. The opposite of the dog in him, like no dog in the chest.
I don't know. I just would like to feel like he's a big man in the game. Walker Kessler blocked just guys soft, all day. Man. Just 5 minutes, though. I'm just saying 5 minutes. He's going to play. Well, is he? You got a quote here. So is he going
to
play?
Yeah. So we get to this. So this is pregame via Kendra Andrews. Kerr says James Wiseman will play tonight, but his status moving forward isn't set in stone. If the team is fully healthy, it doesn't look like you get much playing time. Kerr says he'd rather have Wiseman getting more reps in Santa Cruz. Summing it up, because I heard the whole thing and I can't pull the audio in real time. They called him up because Draymond and a couple guys were missing. They needed the body. And it's a week where they only have one game during the week. So, they want him to go back in the G League. It's just one of those situations. I think he played those 5 minutes as well as you could possibly assume. But, in general, has he earned the coaching staff's trust to continue playing through it? That's not what's going on. And to your point, you're dancing around it. He doesn't play big. It's that simple. If he Walker Kessler, who's less physically gifted than him, understands what a center is supposed to do. Does he do it perfectly? Probably not, because he's a rookie. But that's really what it comes down to. If Wiseman put his nose in there the way that Looney or Kuminga does on a consistent basis, he probably would never have got sent to the G League, right? That simple.
Yeah.
So take the positives, but what they're looking for, it's pretty clear what they're looking for. What they're looking for is him to play with some consistent physical aggression, right?
Yeah, I think that's I didn't know that was, I didn't see that quote. That tells me that he's not going to play for I don't know how long, but yeah, he's not going to play the next game if guys are healthy. So, okay, let's keep it moving. There's a funny tweet I found. Anyway, let's keep it moving.
From Solomon's Tech. Devastating loss, man. Poole and Kuminga had such a great game. What a waste. Next up, Celtics will destroy us. Then a 1-5 road trip at best. Just being real. I think right now is the right time to talk about Andrew Wiggins. Okay. So obviously, even though Steph and Draymond didn't play tonight, we got word pregame that Andrew Wiggins not only is going to miss tonight, but he's going to miss the Celtics game and get reevaluated on Monday. Abductor strain. So, could be worse in terms of injuries, but it's also one of those things that is tricky. Friend of the show, Dr. Narav, let us know. Typically, abductor strain means 2 weeks. 2 weeks would mean 7 or 8 games he's missed. But anyway, they're without Wiggins right now. And I feel like no Wiggins just really accentuates how athletically limited they are on the wings, right? Kuminga looks good. He looks like he's ready to step up, but it's not the Warriors teams of the past with 5 or 6 wings you feel comfortable throwing out there. And that's kind of the reality of the team right now.
It's Kuminga time. But yes, you're right. It is Kuminga time. At the same time, you're correct. It's Moses Moody time. Get in there. That's they have to play those kids, and those kids have to figure it out. If they go 1-5 in this road trip, 1-4 or whatever, and you tell me that you come out of that and you say Moses Moody deserves 20 minutes a game and Kuminga can play 28, and then you add Andrew Wiggins coming back healthy, I'll take that road trip. Fine. Warriors go 4 games under 500, but you tell me that you pick up 2 new rotation guys at our wings, fine. I'll take it. That's the sacrifice. Frankly, that's something that they should have done when they tried to do in the beginning of the season, just with the wrong kid. But now they're here. And Steve Kerr had a quote saying how he liked the contributions of Moody and Kuminga, of course. But that to me was tonight was part of that. They're going against Boston. That's as good as a team that you'll face in the NBA. They're up by 55 right now against the fraudulent Suns. It's as good as you're going to play. Then you've got Milwaukee, Indiana, Philadelphia, Toronto, New York, and Brooklyn. I mean, right? That's a murderer's row of teams that are big, athletic, and got superstars. So those are the two guys that I think have to figure it out. And Steve Kerr has to let them. He has to let them figure it out. I don't need to see 25 minutes of Anthony Lamb, man. I really don't. I don't need to see Ty Jerome on the floor. I don't.
I disagree. I need 30 minutes of Lamb.
10 minutes? Sure. Yeah, actually, Anthony Lamb defensively was good tonight. He's pretty shitty offensively now. But he's good defensively. Let me see those kids develop. That's what the Warriors need if they need to, because they got a huge road
like home slate after this, and it's like a pretty easy home schedule, right? If you look at it, and then the road trip after that home schedule is pretty easy. So the Warriors have to figure out what if those young players can play. Wiseman, he's going to be in the G League, so forget about him. But Kuminga and Moody, those kids have to figure it out in the next 2 weeks. Figure something out. Not all of it, but figure something. It looks like Kuminga's there, almost there.
It does look like Kuminga's there. We haven't talked Moses Moody. Moses Moody tonight, 19 minutes, 2 for 4, 6 points. Not too much else. I will say his impact felt positive. Yes. He didn't get rebounds, but he pushed it to other players. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, am I going to call him the player of the game? No, but it felt like he was slowly making it. Like, you could see this performance building on itself and then Moody having a big game in 2 to 3 games if he gets consistent minutes, right?
Yep,
that type of thing. It'll be interesting to monitor. Like, the reality of this Warriors team is they're mediocre right now. Their main guys can hang with anyone, and they have no depth. Kuminga looks like a player that can be developed into playing a serious role come the playoffs. Outside of that, I still think they probably need to make a move of some sort. And we'll see how that comes together over time. But, you know, they're working through it. I'm going to ask you, Andy, we're watching the Warriors play the Utah Jazz. The Utah Jazz are everyone's favorite trading team because we all know the Jazz are kind of transient right now. They're kind of flipping players if they feel like it's going to make it better for them in 2 to 3 years, right? That sort of thing. How do you feel about guys like Kelly Olynyk or Jared Vanderbilt? Do you want them on the Warriors? Are you willing to give up picks for them? Where is your head at?
There's one player I was impressed tonight watching the Utah Jazz. I texted you about him. There's one player, Walker Kessler. That's the kid. I know, obviously, it's not happening, but I'm telling you, that kid can play. Like, he's going to have a 15-year career. He's not going to be a superstar, but he can play. He's going to develop a three at some point because that's what every big does in the NBA. But right now, defensively, absolute monster, especially when Steph isn't on the floor, can rebound.
That's true. He's a lot easier to be a big man when Steph's not on the floor, right?
Right, right. But, like, you know, against every team, because the Warriors don't have to play Steph. So against every team, it's a good player. So I watched the game tonight, and that was my guy. But, yeah, to your point, Olynyk or Jared Vanderbilt, I didn't notice Vanderbilt much. I know people love Jared Vanderbilt. Didn't notice him much. But Olynyk's the guy. I mean, he's a perfect Warrior. He's a perfect – he can shoot the three. He can pass a little bit. He's a goon, right? You can see he does kind of dirty out there, but – you know, I'm sure Warriors fans will love him if he's on the team. So I think that's the guy if you're a Warrior. It's a rental, though, right? But if you want to win now, that's the guy.
It's not a rental because he's under contract next year. So
I'm mistaken. So even better, actually. That's even better.
We're mixing up with the guy we're going to talk about like in 2 minutes. But yes. Okay.
That's right. But totally different players, too. But he's the guy when you he's like pretty smart. He's like not terrible defensively. I don't think he's going to be Otto Porter, but dude, he can fill the bucket up. He can score 5 points.
So that's my question for you. They lost GP2 and Otto in the offseason. Obviously, we've talked about it ad nauseum. Kuminga, different player, but he might be able to fill some of the things Otto did. But, GP, my bad. Otto is the one that's more interesting, which is like a stretch big. How much of that role do you actually think that
Kelly Olynyk can do? Fill? Yeah, because Jermichael Green played some of the worst minutes I've seen today. It was just
that's a swing and a miss.
It might be done. Yeah, it might unless he's
a little cooked.
Yeah, look, it's a vet min. Like I don't know. Sometimes you don't hit on those. I'm not gonna kill him for it. But I do think Olynyk. He's not going to be the same type of rebounder and maybe not as smart as Otto Porter because I think Olynyk looks for a shot more. But, dude, he's a way better scorer than Otto Porter. Also, he stays on the floor. The guy isn't hurt. He stays on the floor and he can play minutes. So, yes, I'd make that trade. What's the trade? What is the actual trade for him? If he makes $12 million a year, you wrote down, you know who else makes $12 million a year?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously it circulates around Wiseman. The question is, do you have to add more to him to get the deal done? And, you know, it feels like a sell low. It's a sell low for a number two pick. It's not a sell low for a guy you have sitting in the G League. You know what I'm saying?
The Warriors would rather have Vanderbilt. I bet you they would rather have the upside guy that they think they can make better. like Wiggins.
Sure.
They don't want the
Vince. But two different players. Vanderbilt's totally also different. More of a GP2 type of replacement. So anyway, let's keep moving. I just wanted your opinion on that one. All right. Karima. All right. Bummed about the loss, but we did everything to win it. I'm pissed at Clay for literally taking a stroll on defense in a crucial moment. Should we talk about Clay real quick?
Yeah, that was insane.
Man. I don't know if I have the heart to go there, but yeah, I mean, Clay probably deserves a little more criticism they're giving him right now. Like, enough of the, you're the veteran on the floor. You should be a little more aware of where the shooter is there. That doesn't happen, then we don't end up in that last possession. It's like the chicken or the egg. We opened on Poole and Clay. Which one do you prefer? And that sort of thing. And it's like, and my honest opinion is it's two sides of the same coin. Both of them have blame the whole way through. So
I think, you know, Clay's weakness defensively has always been that. So it's not surprising to see where its ugly head in that moment. I thought he would take the layup too. It's honestly a great play call if that was what David Hardy was calling on the sidelines. But yeah, man, I mean, the one thing you can't do is give up a three. I mean, that's the one thing you can't do. You just stay on your man and not give up three. So what are we doing here? He's a space cadet. They know that. They've always known that. So, but what are you going to do? You know, it's frustrating. I think it's like that shot that he takes. Jordan Poole took a shot from 35 feet with the shot after an offensive rebound with about a minute and a half left with the shot clock at 14. And I'm just sitting there like, what the fuck is that shot? You know who else takes that exact same shot? Klay Thompson. They both take that exact same shot. So when you talk about two of like the caretakers, there's three caretakers on the team. It's Steph, it's Draymond, it's Andre Iguodala. You know, none of those guys were on the floor tonight, right? So Andre hasn't played all season. I don't even know if he's on the roster. Was he even there in Utah tonight? Or what was he doing? So that's three of your guys that usually make sure things are okay. Kevon Looney can do as much as he can, but he's a big man. So he can't. You've got the two airheads out there, as great as they are, right? You've got the two
as
airheads
explosive
out there.
As they are. They can literally put it up there with anyone, but yes.
But they just, you know, at any moment, they're liable to do some stupid stuff, and that's what happened tonight. Both sides of the floor, and that's why they lost. I mean, that's literally why they lost the game.
We got some goons calling in. I say we go with the goons.
Ooh, all right, let's roll.
Ishan, what's up, my man?
Hey guys, what's up? Calling in pretty sad. These past couple, 3 or 4 days, like I know it's just sports, but kind of just want to cry because first you got Andrew Nembhard just tearing everything apart, and then Aaron Judge, and then this. it's just been a rough couple, 4 days. It's been a rough 4 days, and I I know you guys kind of touched on it, but the one thing that I'm just kind of taking away and something I'm just noticing is Clay. I don't know how to like navigate it because whenever you kind of, when I talk with my friends, everything like that, you talk about the Warriors and you kind of say anything about Clay, everyone goes like, yo man, like relax, don't say anything.
Right.
But like, he's a legend. He did all that. But like, I don't know how much patience I have for like, oh, bad Clay shooting night again, every other game. And it's just like hot and cold. I know how that was before. And then today just, I don't know. Just, yeah, that I kind of just wanted to ask you guys, like, what do you guys think of Clay in terms of like being our second option or third option? And like, just, is he going to get serious? Like this is, and like the defensive stuff. That's all I have to say.
Jean, appreciate you. Okay, two thoughts in there. One, Aaron Judge.
Dude, fuck off.
Oh, man. Hey, get used to what's going on with the Giants. That's going to be the Warriors after Steph retires. they can talk all their shit about being light years ahead. We'll see what happens when you don't have Steph Curry to make all your mistakes go away.
I mean, right? I mean that's part of what makes life easy is you have the guy people want to play with. You have the guy people will play with, take less money to play with, and then he'll make life easier with people on the floor, off the floor, everything.
Yeah, turns out Aaron Judge wasn't willing to take less money to play with JD Davis. You know, and I'm not even trying to hate. It's just like, you know, always always give due respect to the man who makes, you know, who stirs the drink, right?
I think, by the way, just one take with the Giants. I think at some point, I think part of the Judge stuff, because I think if you had to ask Mark Farhan Zaidi if he really wanted to sign Aaron Judge, I would say the answer is no. It felt like an ownership going to him and say, you need to sign a star. Like, I don't think Farhan would make. I think what Farhan wants to do is he wants to sign three or four guys. He wants to sign six Mitch Hanigers, right? So, and in a couple pitchers, he wants to spread it across the team, which I think is fine. But I think at some point the Giants do have to figure out, like, why people just aren't going to come and watch that shit, man. Like, I'm not going to watch those games for Mitch.
Or if you're going to draft and develop, like, find a star, like draft a guy who makes, you know,
Luciano's like 2 years away, right? Like, even the guy that they have that's a top 15 prospect is not ready to be in the majors. And then they've got a pitcher, but he's a pitcher, like, and he's not Tim Lincecum, right? Tim Lincecum put people in the stands. So I don't know, man. I'll still watch. Anyway, let's keep
this. Yeah. I mean, to your broader point, yeah, I get what you're saying. Now, to the Warriors point that Ishan called it about, which is more important, Klay Thompson. I'm not gonna lie, I'm with him in terms of my general frustration with Klay. I just don't know what to do with it, because here's how I see it: am I frustrated Klay is chasing the player he used to be? Yes. Am I frustrated Klay takes shots he shouldn't take? Yes. Are these new things? No. And also, what can the Warriors really do about it, because they have him under contract for another year and a half? And more importantly, there's not really, when you can shoot it as well as him, there's not really a number of shots that make sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like one of those things where it's like, if he's not pulling off the bounce, I can't get upset if he shoots an open three, right? You know, like, it's one of those things. So I don't really know what to do. Like, maybe get on him a little more about shot selection, but otherwise, like, it's frustrating, you know?
I agree. You ride it through. It's what you do with guys that you've won with.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep moving. Who else got something? Let's get Francisco up here real quick. My man, what's going on?
Man, that was a shocker. That final inbound, I just looked to the side and got distracted and didn't believe. He couldn't corral. It didn't cradle the ball like a running back. I don't know who was saying that on the broadcast, but. But these are the games they're going to miss, because we've been saying they're top seven. They can play. You trade or you get a buyout, you get a veteran, and everything, not everything is going to be okay, but they can play with anyone, okay? But two things. One, you're losing a couple of games here and there that they're going to miss in the end, and especially – and the result of it is tonight's game. The veterans are going to be wasted, okay? So this is a long season, okay? This is going to be a long season. And I don't know if we can survive it, because every game is like this. You imagine the Celtics are winning by 30 or something. There's never been a game like this season, okay? There's never been a 30-game game in the third quarter to rest everybody. So it's going to be a long year, man.
Appreciate you, Francisco. Okay. Appreciate it. It is going to be a very
Francisco's
long
got a – he's like, exhausted. He's like, dude, it's going to be
– it is going to be a long season. Year. Let's get – we got one more up here. Let's get Mikas up here.
Oh, let's go. I haven't seen Mikas in a couple weeks. What's up, brother?
Oh, you know, I got off work. It was freezing in New York, and I said I'm going to sit down and watch the final 5 minutes.
It's unfortunate.
Great.
That's unfortunate.
It was great.
Four and a half really enjoyable minutes.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
That's what she said.
I bike home from my job, and I waited until they were up three to rent the bike, and I'm biking and I'm watching, holding my phone while I'm biking in like New York streets, And I literally had I fell not off the bike, but I let like the bike collapse underneath me when they when Poole had the ball stolen, and I like stopped and stood in the sidewalk. So that was so awesome.
You fell to your knees in the.
I basically did. I don't know. I'm sure you guys already discussed them, but a three team trade. You know, Wiseman to the Spurs, Patrick Baldwin and Moses Moody to Chicago. Give us Poole and Caruso. I mean, but like, what do the Bulls need Caruso for? They don't. They want to lose. They're done. And the Spurs, you know, if Greg Popovich is who he says he is, make James Wiseman, make him the next, you know, make him the next admiral. If he's really who he says he is, I'm, you know, I don't know.
Pop's going to be like, bro, I'm a coach. I'm not a miracle worker.
I guess he's not Jesus Christ is the issue. But it would help them get Victor Wembanyama. And then, you know, he could. Pop could get another, you know, great seven footer. I don't.
There's his new admiral.
Did we lose him?
We did lose him. I definitely didn't kick him off.
We did lose Mikas.
He was just starting to heat up.
He was just
starting to get good.
He was going to carry us like Steph for a few minutes.
Let's get attached down here. What's up, my man?
I never felt pain like this in a minute. 16-19 finals hasn't been this brutal. I will tell you that. Here's the one thing about the Clay thing that's probably the most disheartening. It's like Clay is my favorite player. And I think a lot of the problem is that the Achilles took all of his athleticism, and we're seeing a lot more Clay ups than we want, because there's six blown layups that he just missed in the first half. And if he makes at least three of them, the Warriors win. And that's kind of the disheartening thing, because I believe one of the callers with preferences with Clay is that he's one of the best route runners in NBA history, along with Steph. It's like the backdoor cuts that makes the Warriors good, and how we get rim pressure. We can't rely on it anymore because Clay can't make a layup right now, and it's just been disheartening. So I don't know how that's going to get fixed other than changing Clay's shot diet to more Miami Ray Allen at this point, but you know, I'm probably just more annoyed that Aaron Judge decided to be a Yankee at this point. So
that's really the point.
My man.
Hey man, as long as we get a lottery pick this upcoming season, I can't hate at this point. But, yeah. This is awful. This is what a terrible league of
sports. There's that, somebody tweeted me, and I wish I brought it up, but somebody tweeted and said, oh shoot, I gotta read this out, dude. It's so good. Stefan Rubin said this game was like the Aaron Judge sweepstakes in basketball form, where it's basically
This is perfect. You know? Absolutely.
You knew you were gonna lose, but you got your hopes up.
Wow. Wow.
You know, they gave you so much hope. And then they take it in the most unfortunate way possible. It's like, I'd rather just got it out the way early, but hey, I can't blame Aaron Judge for trying to be with a serious organization. So, salute to him and his
they're
camp.
They're not trying to put him out there with Patrick Baldwin and Ryan Rollins. That's true.
Mike Gostrowski.
Yeah, Tasha, I appreciate you, my man. I appreciate you. I don't know why Rollins and PBJ get slander. They don't really deserve it.
Rollins and Baldwin look happy on the bench today. Good for them. It's, you know,
it's more what they represent. We got one thing to get to before we get out of here. Let's get this up on the stage. All right, Kuminga on the scuffle. It was so funny. I saw him square up, and I'm like, you're the one who fouled me. I ain't got to do that. So it's funny to me. Kuminga, we didn't give enough attention to him smiling at Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah. I only touched on it. It's very Clay-esque. It's very Steph-esque. It's definitely not Draymond-esque because, you know, I don't know what he would do. But it's very Steph and Clay. It just, there's a certain type of player that in those situations are able to laugh it off, like almost like a sociopath, kind of, obviously in a good way, because to me it feels like they've got the poise, joked about the dog, but to me, it's like the composure, the poise, the just kind of the power to play in those moments and not get shook. I think Kuminga's like that. Also, a lot of people texted me, he's African. Those guys are just built different. You know what I mean? He's just built completely different. So I don't know what that means. I don't know, but that's what a lot of people texted me. So dude, it's really, when we talk about the Chase Hatchback Player of the Week, this week being Jonathan Kuminga, this performance was man, it was great. It means a lot if he's going to be able to do this. I don't know how far the Warriors are going to go this season, but they can get that kid to be that what he was tonight consistently. That's, I mean, they are cooking.
We're grasping at straws. We're going to go with it because, you know, that one fucking sucked. And you might as well get the positive out there, which is Kuminga looked good. And you know what? We'll be back. We'll be back Saturday. Very, very mad over everything. But I appreciate everyone. Have a good one.